You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson ASC on Twitter, your host, covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it every single Monday through Friday. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com. Welcome, as always, to all of our first-time listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been supporting me from the jump. Houdat family, and welcome into this week's final episode of Locked On Saints. We got one last episode here this week to get you everything that you need to know ahead of Sunday's matchup between the Saints and the Bears. So we'll start off with another injury report update and what it means for both teams. Then we'll look at how these two teams match up on offense and defense, as well as one big factor that really shook the Bears last season that the Saints may be looking to take advantage of this year. Then we'll wrap up with a quick look at last week's personnel group breakdown, as well as what the Saints might do this week. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. It is a copy and paste situation for both the Saints and Bears injury reports from Wednesday to Thursday. So as of yesterday, still no changes for either of these teams' injury reports. For the Saints, Drew Brees, Tre'Quan Smith, Alvin Kamara, and Jared Cook all still did not practice, with Trey Hendrickson still limited with his neck injury. This does not look good for New Orleans, although there's still one last day. Today's injury report will tell us everything we need to know. You can safely assume that if Alvin Kamara and Jared Cook and Tre'Quan Smith even do not practice today, that they will not be seeing action on Sunday. And I'll be honest with you, at this point, I think it's a little unlikely, at least for Alvin Kamara and Tre'Quan Smith. Jared Cook, I still give a sliver of a chance to practice today, either whether it be limited or full. I imagine it would be limited, but him, I give a little bit more of a chance. And I think it's just because we've heard less about his injury than we've heard about Alvin Kamara's and Tre'Quan Smith's. But the fact of the matter is that as a Saints fan, you should be ready to see the Saints at least without Alvin Kamara this week, depending on what we learn later on today with Friday's practice participation report. That means a larger dose of Latavius Murray, some Zach Zinner mixed in, as well as some Dwayne Washington mixed in as well for the Saints offense. That's going to be a very different looking offense than what Saints fans are used to seeing since Alvin Kamara came into the league just a couple years ago and took the league by storm as Rookie of the Year immediately, or Offensive Rookie of the Year immediately. If Jared Cook does not play, then that means that you get a good dose of Josh Hill, maybe some Taysom Hill at tight end, a little bit more than we've seen as they've been trying to protect him as the backup quarterback over these last few weeks with Drew Brees out and Teddy Bridgewater in, as well as the newly signed Brian Parker. There's not a lot to say about Brian Parker. He's lived on practice squads for most of his time since coming into the NFL from 2015 from the University of Albany. He can catch passes, he can block, but what can he do at the NFL level is still sort of remains to be seen at this point, but he's the newest tight end in the game for the Saints, so we might get a good look at him at some point if Jared Cook doesn't play. Now, over for the Bears, only one change to their injury report is Joel Eabuyewe, or as they call him, Iggy as well for short, is elevated to full participation. But in terms of their starters, Ted Lawson, Taylor Gabriel, Bilal Nichols now a starter with Akeem Hicks out, and Mitch Trubisky, all listed with their same designations from Wednesday. Larson is limited, and then the rest, Taylor Gabriel, Nichols, and Trubisky, all listed as full. So you can expect to see the Bears roll out their starting quarterback for the first time since he suffered his left shoulder injury earlier on in the season. Still dealing with some pain there, I'm seeing reported, but opposite that, it looks like he's going to be ready to go. Taylor Gabriel, who didn't travel with the team to London with his concussion, looks like he's going to be fully ready to go. He's cleared concussion protocol. He's been full practice 2 days in a row as well, so you can expect to see him. And then, as I mentioned, Bilal Nichols, who is dealing with a hand injury, might be playing with a cast on his hand, but he is full for the second day in a row, meaning that he is going to be ready to step in place of Akeem Hicks, who was moved to injured reserve earlier this season. Now, the big question mark here that remains is this knee injury for Ted Larson. The Ted Larson injury and him not being able to play as that right guard position, with the Bears already having lost as well Kyle Long, the opposite guard position for the season, who they they also moved to injured reserve. That could severely weaken this this Bears offensive line, even worse, even more than they already are. I mean, look, this Bears offensive line has not been great. Mitch Trubisky has suffered a ton of sacks already this season in the short time that he played. Chase Daniel consistently gets some pressure put on him. They have one offensive lineman, Leno Jr., who's allowed 15 pressures and committed 8 penalties all by himself with no help of the rest of the offense around him, offensive line around him. He's done that all on his own. So if Ted Larson ends up not going and they have to roll with somebody like Alex Bars, who is, you know, coming off the practice squad as an offensive lineman, which they might have to do in Kyle Long's place anyway, that works to the Saints' benefit in terms of being able to get pressure on Mitch Trubisky and be able to hopefully contain him so that he doesn't use that mobility to do too much or make any of those plays or extend any of those plays, kind of the same way that we saw Russell Wilson do in Seattle. But of course, you can't compare Russell Wilson to Mitch Trubisky, especially with Mitch Trubisky coming off of this injury. So there's still an element of a waiting game here for both of these teams and both of these fan bases to figure out which of their stars are going to hit the field on Sunday. We'll learn more after today's practice participation report, which will release later on in the afternoon. That's going to have some pretty big effects on how positive or negative some matchups might look for the Saints. But in the meanwhile, we'll talk about that. How does the Saints offense and defense match up? As well as I'm going to give you one big key piece of information that was really detrimental for the Bears last year that might work in the Saints' favor this year. But before we get to that, the folks over at Roman, a men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer lasting sex. Get $10 off of your first order of swipes and free 2-day shipping at getroman.com/LockedOnNFL. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you can make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge? Well, at MyBookie, they want to make your dream come true this season between the football season, the MLB playoffs, the start of the NBA and NHL seasons. It's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because nobody gives you more ways to win. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So there's no surprise here that when we look at the Saints and Bears matchup, that this matchup works positively for both defenses. This looks like nothing more than a defensive game and a defensive struggle. If we look at it, the Saints offense is rated 18th in the league in terms of points per game with 21.3. Bears defense third in terms of allowing points, 13.8 points per game. That's an outstanding defensive stat there. For the Bears on their offensive side, they're only 26th in scoring, however, 17.4 points per game. So they're still helping themselves with their defense. They are scoring less than 18 points per game, but allowing less than 14. So that could explain to you why they have a winning record at the moment. And the Saints defense currently sits at 11th in the league. Yes, you heard me right. The Saints defense is the 11th best scoring defense in the league. They're almost in the top 10, 20.3 points allowed per game, and that's it. So this matches up really, really well. I mean, you're talking about the 18th scoring offense versus the third scoring defense, the 26th scoring offense versus the 11th scoring defense. This is a positive matchup for both defenses. The Saints defense, 10th in yards per game in terms of total yards, 12th in passing yards, 14th in rushing yards, top five really in terms of rushing yards allowed over the last three games. The Bears offense, 30th in total yards, 30th in passing yards. They've only accumulated 185.4 yards per game in the passing game, and then 29th in rushing yards. So they are very close to dead last in the league in terms of offensive production as a whole. And their offensive production so far throughout this season really benefits what the Saints have been able to do over the last three games in particular. Over the course of the full season, the Bears have only accumulated up to 266 total yards per game. Meanwhile, over the last three games, we've talked about this here on the podcast before, the Saints have been allowing less than 260 total net yards per game over those last three games. So this plays right into the Saints defense's hands so far. The Bears defense, on the other hand, 6th in total yards allowed, 11th in passing yards, 5th in rushing yards allowed. They're an outstanding defense. We already know that. Saints offense, 22nd in total yards, 15th in passing yards. They're middle of the pack there. And then 19th in rushing yards. They're a little behind or sort of below average there. So again, the Bears defense versus the Saints offense, you can give the advantage to the Bears defense, but the Saints defense versus the Bears offense, you get the advantage for the Saints defense. Now, here's the big thing that has been a huge factor that I've been sort of tracking and waiting to see if anybody was going to bring up, and I'm starting to finally hear it. So I want to bring this up as well. The Bears off of the bye under Matt Nagy have not been great. Let's just look and focus on the mini bye that they had between weeks 12 and 13 last week. So they played a Thursday night game against the Detroit Lions, didn't have a game that Sunday, and then the following Sunday, they traveled to take on the New York Giants. They lost that game in overtime, 27-30. They gave up 338 total yards in that game, 197 passing, but also 141 on the ground. Now, again, that was against Saquon Barkley, but still, big time adjustment from what they had been doing, especially as a team that right before that, they allowed over 100 yards to the Detroit Lions on the ground, but before that had gone four straight games, allowing less than 100 yards rushing altogether. Now, if you think that's bad, let's jump back a little bit further to the Bears actually playing off of their bye week and then going into their 28-31 loss against Miami, also in overtime. Again, another 3-point loss. This was earlier on in the season. Off the bye week, week five, going into the game week six, the Bears defense allowed 541 total yards to the Miami Dolphins in Miami. 380 of those yards were passing yards, 161 on the ground. And despite forcing three turnovers in that game, they also managed to turn the ball over three times themselves. They themselves, the Bears, put up 303 passing yards and 164 rushing yards. They're pretty evenly matched, hence why this game was a close one, but still a higher scoring game than you'd imagine. The Dolphins dropping 31 points on the Bears defense. So the Bears defense last year, and Matt Nagy in a way, came out of that bye week kind of sleepy. The big difference here is that they came off the bye week and traveled to Miami. They came off of that sort of mini bye, that Thursday to Sunday night game, and traveled to New York. This is a game at home for the Bears in Soldier Field, so the Saints have to travel to them, but still something to keep an eye on because they've shown so far in the short sample size we have with Matt Nagy that they don't necessarily play the best off of the bye week. And right now, Sean Payton is one of the best coaches in the NFL. He's been one of the best coaches in the NFL, but we've talked about my very strong opinion that he should be considered as coach of the year so far this year. This is an opportunity for him to come back and stamp another one on the resume. Same thing for Teddy Bridgewater, getting a big win over Chicago in Chicago. If they can catch these boys sleeping off the bye week, this is huge for both of their resumes moving forward. Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent. Sean Payton, in terms of stamping and continuing his resume for his claim to coach the year by the end of the season. Now, do I think that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be trying to stamp his resume for free agency for another team? Not necessarily. I think he's very intent on staying in New Orleans, but certainly is going to want to get paid the most amount of money that he can, and a win in Chicago against the Bears, potentially without Alvin Kamara, would be a big time bargaining chip. So look for the Saints to try to take advantage of a sleepy defense potentially for the Bears coming off their bye week, and look for them to game plan and use a little bit of what they saw with the Raiders win against the Bears last week in London. The Raiders did a really good job, even with a subpar offensive line, game planning away from Khalil Mack and sort of helping to keep him out of the game and keep him from affecting the game as much as you might see in those Chicago Green Bay games where he's, you know, sacking Aaron Rodgers and recovering fumbles and all this other stuff. They did a really good job game planning away from him and sort of trying to neutralize him and keep him as neutral as they could so he didn't become as big a deciding factor in that game as we've seen in others. Look for the Saints to do a little bit of that, especially if they don't have Alvin Kamara and they're running with Latavius Murray, who does have some experience against this Bears defense. He did play against them twice last year when he was playing with the Vikings. However, he only had 6 total carries over those 3 games, so he doesn't have a huge sample size. It was very much a Dalvin Cook-led running game at that point for Minnesota, and one of them was a Week 7 team game as well. So we'll see exactly what it is that the Saints try to deploy here, but you're hoping and crossing your fingers that this bye week trend that started for the Bears last week in terms of the full bye and the kind of mini bye they got from Thursday night to Sunday night, you're certainly hoping that that rings true with this upcoming game against the Saints. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to take a quick look at some personnel grouping analysis from last week's game and what it tells us about this upcoming matchup with Chicago. Got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. So again, in last week's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, we saw Latavius Murray come away with the most touches he's had as a Saint so far, with 11 total touches. Previous high for him was the week before that with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he had 9. And when you look at the personnel grouping analysis, this actually makes a lot of sense. The Saints only spent 58% of their time with 3 wide receivers on the field. The remaining 42%, they had at least 2 running backs or 2 tight ends. And so with that, you can see that the Saints really put a big focus on ground game, even though they didn't rack up a ton of yards. And even though they tried, quite a few passes during that game, they really were intent on stacking up on the offensive line or adding some extra bodies in the backfield. Now, this could be for a couple of different reasons. A, it could be an emphasis on the run game that just didn't translate out onto the field. The Saints didn't get a ton of rushing yards. They did go over 100, but it wasn't a huge running day for either team, honestly. Or the other possibility here is that the Saints were just bracing for a better pass rush, and they were, loading up, having extra bodies on the offensive line, having extra bodies in the backfield so that they could help keep Teddy Bridgewater as clean as possible. That worked for the most part. He still got sacked 3 times in the game, 2 of which came back to back late in the game, so that didn't help. But it does feel like that emphasis on the run game and emphasis on pass protection might be something that we see bleed into this next game against Chicago as well. Now, the Saints still found some success in 11 personnel, which is their 3 wide receiver grouping, 15 of 21 passing, 103.5 passer rating and a touchdown during that. They also had a 60% successful run game there as well out of the 15 rushing attempts they took from that formation. However, they only averaged 2.7 yards per carry. The real money in the run game came from their 9.3 yards per carry when they were in 12 personnel. That's 1 running back and 2 tight ends, as well as 2 wide receivers out on the field. They also had a pretty successful day with a 63% successful run rate off of their 8 rushing attempts, with 4.4 yards per carry out of 21 personnel, loading up with 2 running backs and 1 tight end. And having 2 wide receivers out on the field. They also ran a single play out of 22 personnel, 2 running backs, 2 tight ends. That was a 20-yard pass, only 8 yards of air travel on that. But for the most part, they focused on either 3 receivers, 2 tight ends, or 2 running backs. That was what the Saints did. They lived essentially in 3 personnel groups throughout this game. Now, when we take a look at what it was that the Oakland Raiders lived in when they took on the Chicago Bears the week before last in London, that actually feels a little bit familiar from what the Saints did. They only spent 53% of their time with 3 wide receivers on the field and spent a lot of their time with either 2 running backs or 2 tight ends on the field, running 19% with 2 tight ends and 1 running back, running 16% with 2 running backs and 2 tight ends. So you can see what the Oakland Raiders did and see that this sort of translates a little bit into what I'm saying about what the Saints might do in terms of making sure that they load the line of scrimmage and the backfield to help support the run game, but also help keep Teddy Bridgewater clean. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Saints deploy that same kind of an offense with a couple of shot plays built in there on running down, sort of their 1st and 10, where Sean Payton really likes to take the shots. Now, I will say this. I think that the first 15 scripted plays that Sean Payton has in store for the Chicago Bears might be the single most important 15 plays of this game. If the Saints can come out early and get ahead 2 scores, whether that be 10 points, whether that be 14 points, whatever that might be, if they can get ahead 2 scores, then their defense has the ability to keep that Chicago Bears offense out the game. Then it just comes down to the offense doing what they've done very well under Teddy Bridgewater, and that is making very minimal mistakes, erasing mistakes. No points off of turnovers, no turnovers that immediately turn into points, i.e. pick sixes or fumbles returned for touchdowns, things like that. Teddy hasn't given up yet a fumble for a touchdown when sacked, even though he's been sacked multiple times so far this season. He's done a good job holding onto the ball. He's going to have to keep that up, and they're going to have to keep up the clean play. If this game for some reason turns into a which defense scores more type of situation, you don't want to be the Saints in that situation, because I truly believe that Chicago's defense gives you greater potential in that aspect. However, we've seen the Saints already score on defense before, so let me not completely erase them from that conversation, but that's not the type of battle that you want to be in. You want to be in the battle to where you're saying, we have control over what we're doing. We need to we need to erase our mistakes, keep our mistakes minimal if we have any at all, and also get some points on the board early and let the defense do their work. That will lead to a Saints W in Chicago. I still think this is going to be a low scoring game. I've been all over everywhere talking about how the Saints are going to lose this game because I'm trying to keep my streak alive. I'm not changing up. I'm trying to keep this streak alive for y'all because, simply put, you deserve the best. You deserve the best, the Saints fans in the Who Dat Nation. We've been through enough. You deserve the best. Now, I will say, even if the Saints don't drop this game, I'm not panicking. I'm not worried. If the Saints can manage to go 5-1 without Drew Brees, that's absolutely incredible. You'll probably remember from very early in the season, this was one of the games that I picked as the Saints potentially dropping. And if that were to happen, it doesn't put me behind on how I feel about them or Teddy Bridgewater or the Saints moving forward the rest of the season. Once they get Drew Brees back, this is a whole new team. This is a whole other situation that we have going on here in New Orleans, and one that we should still be excited about regardless of the outcome of Sunday's game. But still looking for a Saints win here. They do have the opportunity and the potential to do it. Now, let's see if they can work it out. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode. Enjoy the game this weekend. Don't miss out on some LSU action on Saturday as well. Let me get my coach O. Go Tigers. You know I got to do it. So that does it for today's episode. Thank you all so much for coming through. Make sure you come back next week. We'll keep you updated. We'll do a recap of the game and then get you ready for the Cardinals game as well. Should be a lot of fun. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. Share the love, and thank you for everything that you've done in terms of subscribing, reviews, ratings. All of that is such a big help to the show. Thank you so much. Please keep it up. I appreciate, as always, everything you do and all of your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.